Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of Friends with Money, Money Magazine's podcast to help you earn, save, and achieve your financial goals. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine, and as always, it is a pleasure to be with you. We are well and truly into the final quarter of 2024 at this point, which means that the holiday season is nearly upon us. And I don't know about you listeners, but I have certainly reached the point where I'm looking at my calendar and counting down the weeks until the summer holidays. Now, it's pretty common for Australians to have Christmas, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, all marked in their calendars, but others may have circled November 29, December 2, and December 26 as well. Why, you ask? Well, those dates happen to mark three of the biggest sales dates in the calendar: Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and Boxing Day, respectively. So whether you are looking to get some Christmas shopping done early or just trying to grab a bargain, the big question is, do these sales actually provide value for shoppers? And for anyone who is thinking about taking advantage of these sales events this year, and I'll probably be one of them, how can we best prepare in order to maximize our savings? Well, today we are going to get into those questions and more. And to do all that, I am very pleased to say that joining us to do all of that is Sarah Meganson, personal finance expert at comparison website Finder. Sarah, welcome to Friends with Money. It's great to finally have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. This is a topic I love talking about. My favorite thing is sales and saving money at the same time. So it's a massive win to me.
Listen, Sarah, I knew you'd be the perfect guest for this episode. So I'm glad to hear that you're excited. I am too. To start off though, Sarah, I think it would be really good to add some context to these sales events. And I know that Finder has recently produced some research on this very topic. So what did you uncover in terms of the number and the type of Australians who were interested in the sales?
Yeah, it's really fascinating. We have been tracking the different consumer reaction and consumer sentiment towards sales for the last few years. And it's really fascinating in particular with Black Friday. That used to be something that was more of an American sale. It has been huge overseas in the United States for, you know, years, decades. And it's only really been in the last 5 or 6 years that it started to really take off in Australia. But we noticed last year, Black Friday sales became the biggest they've ever been, and they actually were bigger than Boxing Day sales. So wow. Australians spent more money last year, on Black Friday than they did on Boxing Day, which is pretty phenomenal because in Australia, Boxing Day has always been culturally our biggest sale. Those of us who are old enough to remember and used to watch free-to-air TV, you can remember the vision of the Myer stores opening up on Boxing Day and people lining up to get in and get those big bargains. So it used to be a really, really big deal to save all your money and have a big shop on Boxing Day. Now people are doing that for Black Friday, but also we're finding Black Friday stretches out. It used to be Black Friday on the Friday, obviously, and then we would have Cyber Monday the following Monday. Now you tend to see Black Friday deals that start mid-November and run for a couple of weeks. So we're seeing that sale period really extend. But there's a number of interesting sales throughout the year as well. Black Friday and Boxing Day are the biggest sales. 29% of Australians say that they will shop on those sales. Cyber Monday is just following that. That's 13%. And then 10% of Australians say that they spend up big on Afterpay Day. That one is, it can be a little bit controversial because Afterpay Day can encourage you to spend money you don't have. If you're afterpaying it and you're spending it and paying it off over a period, then perhaps you can't afford to buy it. So that's one that I would say, you know, maybe exercise a little bit more caution and make sure that you're not spending beyond your means. But all of these sales can offer a really good opportunity to save money on the things you are already going to buy.
Well, on that point then, Sarah, what are people, you know, typically looking to buy in these sales? Is there anything in particular that they kind of, you know, pencil in beforehand and then try to nab a bargain on?
Yeah. And again, it's fascinating because I think the way we shop online really transforms the way that we spend in sales these days as well. But the top three areas where people are looking to spend and save on the sales is clothing and electronics are number two, and then beauty products and makeup are number three. So those areas that you can kind of do a lot of research on and then shop online to take advantage of sales tend to be the areas where people are spending up the most. There are certain things that are much easier to do or people prefer to do in person. And I think those areas, gadgets, you know, you kind of, if you're going to buy a particular brand of something and you know exactly what it is, you can do your research online and then you don't really care which retailer you buy it from as long as you get it for the cheapest price. So they tend to be the areas that people spend up big at sale time.
Makes a lot of sense to me. And I think I've ticked off all of those kind of various categories over the last couple of years. So obviously you fit the stereotype there. Sarah, I guess one of the big questions that I had leading into this is one that I've already mentioned, but it's probably, you know, useful to try and answer in some way. Are sales like Black Friday, like Boxing Day, are they really a good time to get a bargain, or are they, you know, a bit all sizzle, no steak?
It's a question that we actually get every year when we do this research. Are they actually genuine sales, or is it all a big marketing ploy to try and encourage people to part with their hard-earned dollars? And the reality is, it is actually a genuine sale. I know a lot of brands, they center the Black Friday sale as the middle of their promotional campaign, and they do their biggest deals every year around Black Friday. And consumers are now starting to trust the fact that they can wait for Black Friday to get the best deals. One example of that is Apple. Apple are renowned for never going on sale and very rarely putting things on discount. The only time they usually discount things is when a newer model is coming out. And so they start to discount the older model to make it, you know, to make some sales before the new one comes. And Apple last year, over the last couple of years, have done some really good deals around Black Friday. They're usually quite specific, so they won't just do a blanket 10 or 20% off everything, but they will put particular items on really good discounts. So last year, I took advantage of that. My husband had been eyeing off the Apple EarPods for a number of years, but they're very expensive. They were $900. I got them for him in the Black Friday sales for $720. So it was a 20% discount. Still an astronomical amount to pay for headphones, in my opinion, but he'd been wanting them for a number of years. So for me, it was something that we'd done a lot of research on. We knew that the price was never going down any other time of year. He'd been tracking the price all year. So when I saw it on sale, I knew it was a good time to act.
I love it. That's a great example. How generous as well on your behalf, please. So Sarah, for Australians who are planning to shop on Black Friday or Boxing Day or Cyber Monday or whichever sale they choose to participate in, is there anything that they can do beforehand to prepare to ensure that they actually do get a bargain?
Yes, I think this is such a great question. And one thing to keep in mind with sales is that they are a giant exercise in dopamine. We get huge dopamine hits when we buy things on sale, and it can encourage us to spend more because it feels really exciting. You feel like you've done something well when you get it on sale. You feel like you've achieved something, and that can encourage you to want to do more of it. So instead of just buying one thing on sale, you can be incentivized to add more to your basket and end up overspending. So my biggest first tip is to be like Santa and have a list and check it twice. Don't be tempted to overspend on things that you actually don't need just because they're on sale. This is not the last time they'll go on sale. It's not your last opportunity to buy them. So try to only buy the things that you actually really need. For me, Black Friday is a brilliant time to do my Christmas shopping. I probably do 80% of my Christmas shopping during Black Friday because the sales are so fantastic. And I usually go in with a very clear list. I know the things that I'm shopping for. I know the people I'm buying for. And then I make sure I stick to that list when I'm shopping. There are certain brands that I already know I will look to. I will wait for their Black Friday sales to stock up on certain items that I use throughout the year. I know that's going to be a really good time to stock up. But making sure you have that list and you don't overspend is a really good place to start. A lot of people don't really have budgets for sales or for Christmas. It's just a time of spending. So having a look at what you can actually afford to spend is a really good idea as well, just to make sure that you're not going to end up buying lots of things on sale. It gives you that dopamine hit in the moment. And then afterwards, you're stuck with a credit card bill or a buy now, pay later bill that really gives you a bit of a headache and you have regrets. The other thing I would say is, make a list now of the things that you are interested in so that you can get an understanding of their price today. And then you can see if they are genuinely on sale or if it's a really good sale or not. There might be things like the Apple AirPods that I was talking about before. Because I knew they were $900, when I saw them on sale for $720, I could act really quickly. I knew it was a genuine 20% discount. And with sales like this, they are often limited. So I think that particular sale, it was limited to the first 100 customers. I was able to act really fast and get that discount and save that money. But if I hadn't known the actual price of it before the sales, I might not have acted as quickly. And you also might be hoodwinked by a sale that's not that good. You know, it might only be 5% off and you might be encouraged to spend a whole lot of money on something that you actually don't need just because the idea of the sale was more appealing than the actual reality of the sale.
I think that's an excellent point. I've definitely been caught out by that before.
I think companies
potentially, raising prices a little bit beforehand and then cutting them to make it seem, you know, bigger than what their typical price is. That's great advice, though, Sarah. You know, obviously, getting something at a discounted price is nothing to sneeze at in itself. I mean, I guess that's the whole point of sales, right? And you know, doing well in sales is getting a bargain, but I'm a bit greedy when it comes to savings, especially on consumer goods. So, is there anything that shoppers can do, I guess, to boost their savings even further?
Again, I love this question, and I totally agree. I think any money that we save, like why donate that money to big business when we can have that money in our pocket? It's much better there. So, I think it's a great strategy. There are a number of different things you can do. One thing that I do every time I shop at Woolworths or Big W for a bigger ticket item is I will jump onto their app and buy a gift card for 3% off straight away. It's like a 3% discount on anything you buy there. An example of this was last year I bought my kids a Nintendo Switch for Christmas, which was about, I think it was about $450. I did get it in the Black Friday sales. So it was normally, I think the package that I was looking at was normally over $600. I got it for just over $400. I then used the Woolworths Everyday Rewards program where I get 10% off a month. I'm a member of that paid program. It's $7 a month to join it, but you get 10% off a month at Woolworths and Big W. So I used that to get 10% off. So it came down to, I think it started at $420. It came down to $380. I then bought a gift voucher online and I got a 3% discount on that, which took about another $12 off, which doesn't seem like much, but they all add up. And I ended up getting what should have been a retail price of around $650. I ended up getting that for just under $370. So almost half price. All of those little things, those little extra steps that you take, they really don't take that long in this day and age. It takes an extra couple of minutes to buy a gift voucher online or to add a discount code, and you can save a huge amount of money. The other thing that I suggest people do is join one of those online cashback programs. There's a few of them. There's Cash Rewards and there's Shopback. And there's even a program through Raise, which is an online investing platform. You can even use it through there. And when you do that, the money that you save actually gets reinvested for you into your investment choices, which is a great way to grow your future wealth and capture those little savings and make sure you're not just spending them. They're actually captured and going to be invested for your future, which is fantastic. But those apps, for people who are not familiar with them, those apps and programs, you go to them first before you go to another brand. So let's just say you wanted to shop at Myer or Big W. You go to these cashback apps first. And then you, from there, you'll find the brand you want and you click away to that brand's website from that initial app or their website. And that will then track your purchase. And you can get usually anywhere from 2% to 5% back on the purchase price. But those apps often do deals. So they might have a day where they're doubling the reward on a certain brand. It's really good for travel. I use it when I'm booking flights, when I'm booking hotels, because they have a lot of travel apps through there, like Trip.com and What If, Booking.com. All of those are registered through these apps and you can get up to 10% back when you're booking travel. So I've saved literally hundreds of dollars when I've booked travel. We know that during Black Friday sales in particular, there'll be a lot of travel deals as well. So that can be a really good way to supercharge that discount and get even better value.
I love it. You know, compounding savings on top of savings is fantastic, especially when it's just, you know, a little bit of extra effort, right?
Yes, exactly.
Sarah, we know that Australians will probably spend tens of billions of dollars across these sales events over the next, you know, month or two, but not every purchase is going to work out. You know, sometimes things happen. So what kind of rights do shoppers in these sales have in terms of returning items or making use of warranties on the products that they've bought? What should people, you know, really know here?
Yeah, I think this is a really good one to have in your back pocket when you go shopping so you know exactly what you have available to you. So your rights actually stay exactly the same when you buy things on sale. You have a legal right, according to the ACCC, to have a refund, repair, or exchange if the product is faulty or it doesn't do what it was advertised to do. So it might be that you buy an electrical item and it doesn't work, or that you buy something online, say you buy a pair of shoes and they turn up and they're not the color that you ordered, or they're a different style to what you ordered. If something like that happens, you have the same rights as you do when you paid full price, but legally, you don't have the right to a refund or exchange if you change your mind. So that might be something you purchase, that you receive it and you realize it doesn't quite fit. It doesn't look good on you. It doesn't look the way that you thought it would. The size isn't quite right. Or sometimes if you buy accidentally, you know, you double up and you buy two of one thing, you can't refund or exchange that simply because you've changed your mind. So that those rules actually apply whether the item is on sale or not. So it's just a good thing to know if you're shopping online, or even if you're shopping in real life, that your rights extend to faults and misrepresentations, but you don't actually ever have a right to exchange or refund something if you simply wanted to change your mind. A lot of retailers have really good policies around this, though. You know, the really big retailers like Myer and Big W and Kmart, they generally have pretty generous policies where you can make an exchange or a refund within 30 to 60 days, even if you just change your mind. But, you know, regular stores really can, it's up to their own discretion whether they want to exchange your refund for change of mind. So it's worth getting to know those policies if you're spending a big amount of money. I know for me personally, I bought a dress recently that was $300, which is a very big splurge for me. So I did make sure that I checked the terms and conditions of the refund just in case it turned up and I tried it on and it didn't look like I expected. I wanted to make sure I could refund it. And they did have a 14-day policy.
That's great to know. And I'm glad for you in that situation that they had that. Sarah, we've covered off so much ground today, but I want to ask before we let you go, are there any other, I guess, sales specific or more general shopping tips or tricks that you'd like to share with everyone listening before we say goodbye?
Yeah, I think this time of year, well, from probably mid-November onwards, your inboxes and your social media are going to get completely inundated with offers. And it can be tempting to spend. It can also be really hard to resist it when you're just getting literally bombarded with these messages. So make sure that you're quite mindful during this time is what I would say. Be really intentional with what you're spending. I know that last year when we had Black Friday sales, I did a lot of my Christmas shopping during that time. I did a lot of it online and I ended up getting so many packages. It was actually hard to keep up with it. And I think in total, it was 10 or 12 packages and I kind of forgot what I'd ordered and what I'd spent. So, you know, on your phone, open a little notes app and just keep a record of what you're spending and what you're shopping, what packages you're expecting, just so you can keep an eye on it and make sure that you receive everything. It's a really, really busy time of year for Australia Post and for couriers, and things can go missing. So if you just keep a record of it somewhere, I think on your phone is great because everyone has that on them 24/7. Just keep a little record of everything that you buy so that if something doesn't show up or it's been a number of weeks and you haven't received it, you can remember to follow it up and make sure nothing goes missing.
As a man who has so many notes on his phone at the moment, I think that's a great idea. I love a note. So great advice.
Fantastic.
So I've got to say, I feel a lot more prepared than I did 30 minutes ago for the sales season ahead. So thank you so much for joining us, for sharing such excellent tips. It's been a pleasure having you on Friends with Money.
Oh, I hope you spend up a storm very wisely during this sale period.
Hopefully not too much of a storm. That's it for this episode of the Friends with Money podcast. But don't forget to jump on our website, moneymag.com.au, for your daily dose of financial news. Or you can go grab yourself a copy of the latest edition of Money Magazine in all good newsagents. As always, Friends with Money will be right back in your podcast feed next week. So until then, my name is Tom Watson. Goodbye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.